You are listening to Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live from my subterranean lair inside the third dimension of planet Earth. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, baby, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me, until we are all vibrating the same frequency. Tonight, it's a waning full moon, and it's in Leo. It's like 98% illuminated, and we have the wonderful Naomi Swan. She has dealt in so many fields: emotional healing, spiritual counseling. She's certified as a clairvoyant and intuitive in ordination Reiki. She's a Reiki master. She's certified in the School of Sexual Energy Virus. She has been even certified in holographic dreamtime kinetics healing, and she is a holographic kinetics practitioner. I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, the mystical spiral.com, and you can find her at embodyenergeticecstasy.com. Welcome, Naomi. It's Naomi Swan, everybody. Welcome her.
Thank you, Ra. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you.
The pleasure is definitely all mine. I'm so glad we found each other. And, you know, there's so much to go over with you, because I really feel what you're working on and what you're doing right now is like key to our survival as a species. I mean, it's that serious. I really feel there's no price value you can put on energetic healers like such as yourself and the work that you do. And it's immeasurable the amount of people that you can touch and affect. And just from a 30 minutes or an hour with somebody like you, it could change somebody's life, and they will always remember that moment. And it's an amazing thing what you do and others like you, such as Laura Leone and Eve Lorgan and some of our friends, because I really feel that, you know, together we can teach others to unlock and explore their consciousness and work on their oversoul and work on their spiritual journey, and, you know, put them, you know, give them that little nudge that they needed just to go down that spiritual path, because that's our true life's focus, I feel, and we've all lost that in a way, and it's our, you know, our turn to unlock it, you know, one by one.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. And I feel that, you know, as we each hold our own paradigm, and we each have our own experiences, And as we bring those experiences forward, that's going to trigger the experience in other people in this lifetime or other lifetimes. And so to me, that's the whole key of doing these shows.
Definitely. And it's a shame because some of these shows people never find, and some of these topics they don't find until it's too late. And people have a misconception of, you know, what this actually is, and, you know, what working on your soul is, and being in touch with the astral realms and the dream time, which is, you know, the alpha. It's basically, you know, the real, you know, how we tap into our soul's purpose and our soul's journey is, you know, the dream time, and, you know, that astral state. And, you know, some people don't even realize that when they're sleeping, they're in the astral realms, and, right, you know, they're picking up astral debris, and, right, and it's tricky because we've been programmed to totally shy away from that type of talk, that type of, you know, learning. And, you know, even 100 years ago, it was way more accepted than it is now, you know, so they've really focused on turning us away from that. And like all these so-called New Agers now, it's been a whole dark aspect that's come with it. Because a lot of these people that are all preaching this love and light, I mean, and you got like these guy gurus that are like looking for susceptible women who are already wounded, and you know, they're convinced them that they're, you know, this, most of them are already have intuitive, you know, powers as it is. So they take a wounded girl who's already intuitive, and they convince them that they're channeling, and they might be channeling, but they're not a grounded person, and they're really getting like taken on by like entities. And, you know, this guru is probably having sex with them, and not only are they getting like guru raped, they're having astral rape by like tachutonum type, you know, tricksters, you know, like some Soldier of Enki type archon stuff.
Right.
And it's like it goes deep and it gets imprinted on their DNA. Yeah,
it does. It does. And the other thing, too, that people don't realize that I see is it's just not reality. You know, you open up the doors to all those realities because on some level, on that unconscious level, the person's allowed it. And I think that, you know, to me, I always like to look at things at the highest level and the gift in this, you know, because, of course, you know, I went through a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a guru, you know, here and there. Fortunately, I saw it, and I think it's because in other lifetimes I had gone through that lesson. So I saw it, and I backed myself out. What I like about S.N. Gionka with Vipassana, he's not a guru, he's a teacher, and he's a businessman. And so right away, I felt really succinct and clean with his energy because there was no attachments. It was just learn the technique. This is important. He feels like you. He has your same passion. You need to, you know, wake up every morning, do Vipassana, clear off because of the astral realm when you wake up in the morning. And so, you know, it's important.
I know. I do that little energy dump sometimes.
Yeah.
I go outside in the ground and like, imagine my arms are hollow and release it all into the ground. Yeah.
Right. And so that's, you know, the people don't, I guess what I see, and people don't realize, and I can see you see how dark it is, but we have to see how dark it is to dissolve that matter, to bring it into light and alchemize it. And the more that we're willing to go deeper and look within our own hologram that's connected to the collective, and then of course we're not a hologram, that's just the computer part of us, you know, that we're being controlled by, right? Then we become our true self. But we have to unhook that code. And unhooking the code is always different for different people and for different people, whatever that looks like. So for me, it's what I do for my own self is I always call in, I want to wake up to my highest self. And then every day I usually get some kind of lesson, but I'm okay with it because I get the lesson and I move out of it. I unhook from that reality. And it can be a lot easier, you know, doing it that way than having it be accumulated and then being hit, which I've also done too. So it's like, do I want to do a daily dose or do I want to be pounded? And I'd rather do the disciplined daily dose. It's a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, firsthand how it is to deal with some of these guru types. And I feel like there's some kind of like energy vortex that opened up in Sedona that's attracting them all in that area too. And it's like something, some kind of trickster is coming out and telling them that they're all channeling their creator God, and it's really some kind of trickster, and it's sucking the life from them.
Well, funny you bring that up, because I don't know if you remember James Ray. He did a sweat lodge there, and some people were killed, you know, years ago. And
wait, that rings a bell. Yeah.
And James Ray, I went to one of his courses, and it was more for my husband Rick, because he wasn't awake enough, but it was, you know, kind of having a man say the same thing I'm saying, because for some reason in that time period, the masculine can hear the feminine, but he could hear it from a man. So we went to James Ray, and James Ray had some really good tools. However, there was some dark occultism going on, and I saw it right away. So I came home and I wrote James a letter, and I says, "You're playing black magic, and if you don't stop it, something's going to happen detrimental." And then 2 years later, you know, he killed somebody in a sweat lodge. So, you know, of not having the response, of not being responsible, of knowing even how to do a sweat lodge, you know, it was pure plastic and no air was breathing out of it. So again, and then people gave him their power. And that's what I saw in his workshop. And that's what I see so many people do it in anything, in any workshop I've taken. I mean, I've taken a ton of workshops, so I won't point out names, but I'll say this, every workshop I've ever been in, I see where people give their power to the teacher and then they get hijacked by the teacher. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, because the teacher also has unconscious realities going on, which they don't even know. So that's why it's so important for everybody to be responsible for their own energy management and not project it on somebody else to do it for them.
I think it might have been, I think I remember with the case, there was like three people who died. It might have been like a three-person sacrifice to these entities, some kind of something like that, that they didn't even realize what happened.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like an insidious thing too. Like when it, you could see some of these channelers, and I've seen a few of their YouTubes and I've watched a few of them. I've even been out in Arizona and saw one of them in person one day at a conference. And it's almost like you could see the life being sucked out of them in their face too. And most of them have all been disconnected from their actual families because of the channeling. Like they've been disowned and they're like living with their guru or whoever, and it's like they're given like advice on other people's lives when their life is in shambles.
Yes,
and they're being fed on.
Absolutely, I see that all the time, and it's heartbreaking. It's really, really heartbreaking. But I think it's a lesson that people have to go through and understand for themselves, that where they've been taken advantage of, or where they've misled, or where they gave their power away, you know. And so I think it's one of these things that, you know, fortunately, you know, me and you didn't have this. I mean, I went out there and I was pretty gullible. I was hit pretty hard with some of this stuff with some of these people. But what I realized is I cleaned up my energy, and then I started seeing it for what it is. And so on a lot of my blogs I write, consider the source. You know, every time you do something, every time you ingest something, every time you're in any kind of reality, be it a bar, be it wherever you're at, consider the source, where you're at, what are you entertaining? Because whatever you're entertaining, plan on entertaining it God for knows how long if you don't get a hold of it. So that's what I see. You know, that's what I see. Consider the source. And you know somebody that's authentic because you can feel it. And then you know somebody that's a tarot card reader. Somebody that doesn't understand the energy. And they get into these darker realities. And then they're reading these people. And the cards are actually coming through their filters and not the person that they're reading. I've seen this over and over again, and it's very, very fascinating. So it's very important to have the people that support you and your energy field to be very, very clean, very deep, and have the passion, the same passion you do. And that's one way of knowing it. If it's ego related, watch out. You know what I mean? If it's ego, then that's where you've really got to be careful. You know, that's kind of a red flag for me. So
for sure. And I can hear like there's some kind of interference in like maybe some arcanic influence in the some kind of interference in the line too when you talk sometimes. And you were right. Yeah, it's like it's an unseen force sometimes.
I always have it around me. They don't leave me alone. When I told you when you first asked me for the call, I'm heavily targeted. That's why I do these shows every now and then. I have to back up, clear the energy, get really grounded, clear the energy. I'm very, very targeted. And fortunately, you know, source energy always shows up. And I've been blessed with some having some few men from India contact me on Facebook and actually educate me, ask me what I'm doing, because they can feel how strong I am in my field. And then they tell me in their teachings that the person that's done the work is the most targeted. And so, you know, it's just what is, you know, it just comes with the territory. However, going to the higher purpose, you use that target to build your energy muscle. The more you build your energy muscle, we use that to alchemize. I call that gold. We deepen. And then that's how we're going to, you know, jump out of here and manifest what we need to survive on this planet. Because we definitely know the way things are going now, with the external world as far as money and food and stuff like that, it's not looking the brightest at this point in time. But the more we clear out our energy, the more it's going to create that, you see, because right now, you know, the population is basically, quote, full of shit, right? So now we've got to clean up this shit and purify the field so that we can create...
No cursing. We can't curse. Organic...
Huh?
No cursing. We just can't curse here.
Okay. Okay. Organic reality. You know, an organic reality. So anyways, that's just basically what I see. The more we clean up, the more it's just going to come to... You know, the children will have a place to live. We'll have a place to live, and that's what it's going to take, because the only way out is in, to clean out that space that we're in, you know, and I have an understanding of it. But as we know, it is hideous, it is infectious, it is a virus, and it is parasitic, you know, and
totally
keep
agree.
It, and having to keep your energy, and knowing how to keep your energy clean, knowing what it feels like when an entity is in your space, knowing what it feels like when you have a virus in your space, and all these different sensitivities that what happens when you do Vipassana, you get very, very, very sensitive, you know. But with the sensitivity, what happens is you can feel all the different energies, so you know that they are not in your space. Like what's going on, the Archon, you know, they're around me, but I'm keeping it out of my field. And also the man from India told me that he says that I have the ability to keep the collective consciousness out of my field. And not very many people can do that, but it takes a very strong energy muscle to do that, because I don't want the collective entangled in me, you see? So I keep it out. This is stuff I didn't know I was doing. This is stuff that people are telling me I'm doing, because they see it from the outside looking in and by feeling it. And their own discernment. So I think that that's where we need to go as we're doing this work and have an understanding of that energy transmission, which is happening right now as we speak. And also on the YouTube, on the YouTube, I wanted to validate you, Rob, because, you know, on some of those YouTube videos, it's just inside the video is so parasitic. It's fascinating to me, the viruses and the parasites that are going on. You know, and these people can have, you know, 200,000 hits. But what I'm seeing, fascinating, because I've been watching this for a long time, the parasites are matching the parasites. You know, it's just fascinating as I see this stuff. So, but again, so be careful when you're watching the YouTube video. But this isn't about fear. It's about discerning and the art of discernment. And that's a skill.
I agree, and it's true. And there's something to the whole, you know, looking into that black mirror of the screen, and you know the electricity and these archonic parasites who I feel they can travel within, you know, the wires. Like there's some kind of embryonic amoeba type.
Yes.
You know, it's they're like, I think somehow we're being terraformed as well. And it's making us more metal-like, more AI, and it's, you know, giving some kind of, you know, takeover, like some kind of dimensional shift, and if people don't start exploring their soul, they're going to become more AI, more artificial. Like I really feel that, and you know, I think this happened like in Mu and Atlantis and civilizations that we lost. Like the technology came to a certain point where it interwove with the DNA, and a lot of us that are having these reconnections now, and we feel these past life connections. I feel that we made some kind of pre-incarnate energetic agreement that we were alive during the Mu time and we perished because of the technology, and we made some kind of agreement to meet in the future when this would happen again, and that time is now. And I feel that we're all meeting again, and before it interweaves with us again, we need to, you know, explore our soul and unlock, you know, our true spiritual path as a being that is supposed to be able to tap into the lower and the higher realms. And when celestial influx, like we're supposed to increase that upon our earth when spiritual evolution has been halted like it has now. And I've said it before, you know, like I've said that before, you know, and it's true. Like we're an interesting being. Like we've been given the amazing powers to be able to tap into the lower and higher realms. And, you know, there's some beings that can't do that. Like those lower astral realm beings, right. They can't tap in to these higher realms unless they feed on us and piggyback, right. You know, and we're that special being, and we've been brainwashed to so we can't do that anymore. And there's only a few of us that are holding the weight, you know, and right. We all need to, you know, awaken and really learn that. And it's so, and the sad thing is that if 90% of the population had just heard me say that and heard you talk, most likely would think we're crazy. Right. Most likely won't even understand what we're saying.
Right. I think too, though, I think that what happens, though, is I think that people come to this understanding when they're ready. And unfortunately, like we were talking before the show, I think it's usually something has to happen when they experience it. And that's usually when they come to me, is they experience something and it's kind of, you know, off the wall, and then I show them that it's not, you know, no, I see this too, and here, and I have the capability to hold the space wide enough so they can see it themselves. So what I'm saying is, I think that everything is divine timing, and everything will be what it's supposed to be. However, I know that you're seeing this too, and I like to look at things in layers. This year is going to be, I think it's going to be a very challenging year again, because as me and people like me and you, we're kind of out of the realities. We're setting boundaries. We're not playing the game. We're seeing what's really going on. Well, what's going to happen is that's pushing the other realities into the lower fields. So now we are going to act like the archons, if you will, like the archons are acting for us. We're going to hold space, be the grounders, why these unfortunate, you know, experiences may happen for these people to wake up. We're going to hold space, and then we're going to be there for them when, you know, we're going to be ready for them when they're ready to wake up. And I think that's how the whole thing in evolution works, you know. So, and then I think too, there's those people, and I've done, I'm writing a blog on this now, and, you know, as far as the afterlife, you know, I think so many people do think that, you know, some of the afterlife is is the way out, and so that's why people commit suicide and blah blah blah. But we both know that you just reincarnate back in the same consciousness. That's what Vipassana teaches, anyways. So, but because there's really no out on the outside. It's all in, and seeing everything. And I think that where I see more than anything is kind of this. I would never participate in that kind of dark energy, you know, mindset. And we have to look at that going, you know, I probably was a serial killer in another lifetime, because I really know this stuff this lifetime. You know what I mean? I know how to see it. I know how to look at it. I can see the virus that's attached to it, you know, so I
have
that.
It takes a killer to find a killer.
It sure does. So I have that experience, but I hone on that experience. I don't use it as a judgment card against me or identify with it. I hone on it, and I use it to up-level the consciousness, not only with myself, but those around me. You see, and that's the key in all this.
It definitely is. And if you're just joining us, because there's a lot of people that just came and got added in the chat room, we're with the wonderful, amazing, and beautiful Naomi Swan. And you can find her at embodyenergeticecstasy.com. And definitely, Naomi, people don't even understand, too, that, like, you know, basically there's the seven realms or planes, you know, of existence. And that I like, subscribe to, basically. You got the ultimate plane, the divine plane, spiritual plane, the mental plane, the astral plane, the elemental plane, and the physical plane. And when one plane is affected, it affects the plane above it. And as above, so below, and they affect each other. You know, and people don't realize that when, you know, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're doing, it affects the upper realm. And it manifests on the physical plane, you know? And I really believe that.
It does.
And it truly does. And people don't realize what their thoughts, even if they don't act on what they're doing, just the fact that they had that thought, it goes into the physical plane and it becomes something.
Right. You know? The thought is an action.
Yes. Yes, and it's crazy because it's almost like a thought form or a tulpa, and if someone sits with something for a long period of time and lets it fester and it infects them, I mean, it's a monster that can be created, and something that can latch onto something and just, you know, drain you, and it could be, this is where, you know, those bedtime lore comes from, and the monsters that lurk under the bed, this is where it comes from. This is actually created by, you know, our fears and our worries and our thoughts and our every move and our every thought and our every action and reaction. I really feel it's all linked as one in it, and we don't realize, you know, that we're affecting all the other planes of existence.
You know, it is. You know, I had an experience the other day, and my sister was going through some stuff with her grandchild and the custody with her child, and so she's going through some real fear and all this, and I set a boundary, and she got mad when I set the boundary, which is one of her patterns. And what happened is she started texting, but she went into OCD loops, and I could feel the OCD loops. And basically what it felt like when I let it in, just to as an experiment, it felt like I was being whipped with a belt, you know, like boom, boom.
Whoa.
And then I closed it and didn't allow it in, you know. But I'm just like, wow, that's fascinating, because I'm getting so sensitive. I'm really starting to identify what these thought forms really feel like,
yeah.
You know. And so they are. OCD loops are like, you know, you're being whipped. And it's like, or it can be like a drill. I have felt that too, like a drill in the head or a drill in the tooth or whatever.
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. That's so, intense. You know. Yeah, it is intense, you know. And so, I mean, that's. When you start getting so sensitive, and after all these years of Vipassana, I didn't know I was going to become this sensitive. I didn't use Vipassana, you know, I used it to clear the accumulated energy, or sankhara is what it's called, negative defilements from this lifetime and many other lifetimes. But I didn't know that I was going to become so ultra sensitive doing this. And I also use it as pain management, too, because I have multiple chemical sensitivities, which is a form of Morgellons, which is another story. But from that, you know, I used it as a gift and just went deeper into Vipassana. And that just created these more sensitivities. So I can really hone in on what everything is, you know, like a very fine tooth tune and look at it and understand what the energy is. So then what happens, I know not to allow it in my space. You see, because some of this, the mind is so covered up, it doesn't even know what's in its space. And that's just twirling around people all day long, and they have no clue. So,
we're going to take our first break. We're going to take our break right now too. So we'll pick it up in a minute. I don't mean to cut you off, Naomi. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Cool, but we got a lot more to get into, guys, after the break, and gals, and we'll be right back in a minute. The song is called "The Carrot Lie" by Analog Driver, and you could find them on Reverb Nation and Spotify. Spiral out.
listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we are back, and we're live and direct from my subterranean lair. And we're with Naomi Swan, who's at embodyenergeticecstasy.com. And I just want to let everybody know, too, like, to be alive is to know the goddess. And everybody's got to get in touch with their masculine and feminine and balance them both. And, you know, you need to look for this goddess force within yourself. And it's in everything around you and me. And, you know, just ask for her, you know, and she'll come. If you even want to do a little exercise, is picture that spiral energy vortex in your third eye. And, you know, tap into Gaia and speak to the earth goddess, and you'll feel her pain and you'll feel her wants and needs, and you can relate to her. Just tap into it and try that. And if you guys are just joining us, Naomi Swan is an amazing energetic healer, and we're so lucky to have her, and we're going to get deep down the spiral again. And Naomi, I wanted to also ask you too, like, in my experience, like, even when you use this kind of spiritual technology, basically, and you're able to tap into the higher realms, it's funny that because these entities will even be like, hi, we're glad you found this spiritual technology. Please come back more often. Like, we're glad you're here. Like, it's like they even like they applaud that you've found it and you were able to, and they like want you to kind of come back. You know, it's an interesting experience. It's like profound.
Yeah, because when you have tapped into it and then you've got another resource, then if you're down and out, then they know they have a resource, right? So to me, when we're vulnerable and when we're and we're in our, you know, maybe in our weak moments is when we need to really take care of ourselves. And that's what I've noticed through, you know, doing some of these blog talk radios or, you know, with some of my health issues, which has been a challenge for me for a very long time. But that's okay. I created this so I could work on myself. I'm not a victim. I did this so that I could go deeper into myself and, you know, do what I need to do to get off of planet Earth. And that's what this looks like for me. However, that is what, you know, that's why they do get a little excited. And then also, too, you know, I've also seen, too, when I was in relationship with Jason, who is an engineer, you know, he also was working for the light and the dark. He had some reptilian players playing him quite a bit. And so I was Wow. helping him. I was showing him where he was being played so that he could pull himself out of it if he chose to. But unfortunately, he did choose the dark at that point in time. I don't know where he's at now. But with that, understanding that is using, they will use the technology too. So, you know, so we've got to be smarter and on top of it more than them. And our mind needs to be sharper. And that's the key here, because the more that we're sharper and the more we're on top of it, they cannot reach our vibration. You see, like you were saying.
Yeah. And I agree.
Yeah. But they're going to utilize. I mean, I saw where I would share wisdom with Jason, and then I could see, you know, the shape shifting of the reptilian come in, and I could see how he was going to use this to benefit himself, you know, in the lower mind agendas. So, you know, and then it came to a point to where I'm like, in my initiations, and Mary Magdalene and the mother Mary is saying, I am not to share information with you anymore because they're seeing that you're misusing this information. I'm seeing you're using this information. And then that's when I broke up with them. Because, you know, they will pull and tag on a higher vibrational couple, and that they always want to take one or both down. So, you know, you build a lot of power in these relationships, and that's what I wrote in the blog. You know, it's going to take more than white light, because when you understand how they play, the interdimensional beings, you know, they don't have common sense. You know what I mean? They don't. And so, you know, you just go, you use your common sense, because they don't have it. And then once you understand that, you get the mind gets more sharper, your common sense gets more sharper. They cannot go to that place. And I don't know if you've seen this with even people like, you know, that work, or you're going shopping or whatever, and they just don't they have like a fog around them, or, you know, there's something around them, and you know, yeah, that they're missing a component, and that component is the sharp mind. And that component is allowing, you know, other entities to intervene on their behalf. But with Jason, it was more, you know, since he was an engineer, I think it was more for him was he was trying to outsmart, you know, in his own grandiosity field, he was trying to outsmart Source. And I don't know if he, you know, he's not going to do it because that's grandiosity behavior, you know, but this is where we can go. It's a slippery slope if we don't pay attention to things. But see, I think that he was a big player in Atlantis and some of those Lemuria. I think he was a big player. And I think that in his past life, I think that he has some, you know, very, very engineer wisdom there. But I think that wisdom can also turn into ego if we're not careful. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. It's a fine line. And so we've really got to be on top, in tune, and in touch with the energy constantly. It's a constant awareness.
Yeah, and in the chat room, they want, it's a little off topic, but they wanted me to ask you if you have ever interacted with fairies.
Yes.
And I know we have a strong lore in you know, Strega, and I've had contact in realms with what could be considered a fairy. So they want to know if you've interacted with fairies, and then there's another one that said sex vampires as well. So if you want to answer the fairies thing.
fairies help me a lot. They help me. They support me a lot. I mean, you know, I can be in heavily targeted, but the fairies are around, you know, showing me that, you know, there's help, there's support, don't give up, you know, that kind of energy. And then, of course, they help me in my garden a lot. I mean, I've grown the best garden. Yeah. I'm going to get teary-eyed because they've helped me so much, you know, listening to my needs and my organic needs. And so I really appreciate the fairy elements. You know, they're a real gift to us. We have no idea how much they can help us. I've tapped in, and there's been times where I've been in so much pain, and I just see them all flying around me, you know, just giving me that oomph to go one more day. We can get through, you know, just, you know, this too shall pass, one more day, you know. And I've been in those places, and I'm not going to lie about it. I've been there a lot. I'm not going to lie about it. But, you know, it's okay because I'm a much stronger person because of it, because I know it's about the strength of the person that we're going to get out. It's not about the goals and the success and the money. It's about the strength and the energy muscle that's going to get us out of here, and the heart intelligence. And how we use the heart, and for the integrity and care for all of us. And then also the fairies also show up with children. And that's very fun to watch too, because they really light up the children. And so there's been, you know, where children will just run to me, and I feel like it's our fairies kind of playing together. And so that's been kind of a fun field to play in, and I really appreciate that. You know, we need to value our children. They should never be taken for granted. And that includes our own inner child, our own inner masculine, and our own inner feminine too. So, you know, we really need to value and use the value word more intelligent than what we have been using it. And as far as the sexual vampires, I've had a lot of sexual vampires. Jason, you know, bless his heart, he opened those doors. My grandfather was a pedophile, and his grandfather was a pedophile, so I knew that we had work to do. And let's just put it this way, my doors were already opened, but he lit the doors up, okay? So, you know, the mirror's the mirror. It wasn't Jason, it's me too. And so with the sexual vampires, I'm pretty succinct in my sexuality. I wasn't promiscuous. I just have never been that way. Where Jason is pretty promiscuous. He's the opposite of me. But what he did is, because of the womanizing and some sexual addiction that he was conquering with, there was a lot of vampiric energy that came in. And so I got to witness a lot. I got to see a lot. And let me tell you, it was an experience and a half, but And that's why I had Rick, my husband, in the picture to support me, because we knew we were going through this. Now, I didn't have
That's an interesting picture.
Yeah, I didn't have an affair. This was all done out of integrity. Rick and I were already separated but living together. And then Jason came in. But Jason knew that he had dark players, he told me. But we
He's hosted attracted. Maybe, Jason. You think he has some kind of reptilian host? Because, you know, that reptilian is the oldest part of us, that he's some kind of...
Yeah. There's no doubt. Yeah, there was no doubt. I mean, the thing is with Jason, he could go... He was a... What I saw is he was a huge transmitter. And so the light was really trying to help him wake up so that he could really... You know, if he woke up, he was going to be able to light up a huge amount of the collective, but they pulled him under through the sexuality. I mean,
his kundalini got prematurely activated probably. And
everywhere we went, women were attracted to him like magnets.
Yeah.
I mean, it was phenomenal.
And the same types of women. Yeah.
Yeah, the same types of women. And then after we would make love, here we go with an energy vampire. My son from the other side would say, you know, something just came in and this is the no parking zone. And then he would get a text from some girl he did a reading from, you know, a few weeks ago. You know, but she felt our sexual, her energy, and then she came in on it. You know, and so that kind of stuff happened quite a bit. There's a lot more vampirism that looks like that. But I think, you know, I think we're all infested with it. People have no idea how infested we are with it. And it's really about being as organic as we possibly can. So, like, you know, a lot of women manipulate and seduce with their body. And so do men. We all do it. And it's like really looking at those structures within ourselves and go, God, do I really want to do this anymore? Because, again, that's a piece of not valuing yourself, right? So... You know, it's objectifying yourself, and then, and that's where, then we wonder why, you know, we manifest things where we get hurt or raped or something like that in the world. So, you know, but like myself, you know, I had alcoholic parents, and I was taught that, you know, I was taught to objectify myself at a very young age, even though wasn't promiscuous, but I was taught to objectify, you know, wear short skirts.
Yeah.
You know, the makeup and all that stuff, so.
It's hard growing up like that. I mean, it's because you at a young age, you don't know what's right or what's wrong anymore. And, you know, sometimes it's imprinted on you. And like, and if you don't break that cycle that like you have, and you know what it is to Naomi, it's unfortunate that us humans, most of us, to go down the spiritual path, we have to be forced because some kind of, traumatic experience started haunting us, and it made the reality 3D physical world like a crazy manifestation of terror, and so we were forced to explore our spirituality because there was no other alternative.
And I agree.
You know, yeah, and sometimes, you know, the trauma that we experience, it shatters our consciousness in a way, and sometimes people, you know, they get their mind fractures and they can't take it, and some kind of even. You know, and we're in relationships, and there's kind of a constant mental belittling. It could create a fracture in one's mind, and they'll put a block, and you know, and then if they lose that partner, that's the one that's actually inflicted the damage. They'll lose that partner, and they'll become unglued and unhinged because they lost them, and they need that relationship now. It's like it's crazy how this gets manipulated, and it's like some, you know, it's getting orchestrated like that just so we can be in this state of terror and amnesia. And it's crazy. That's why we need people like you.
Well, you know, the thing is I think everything happens for a reason again. And I think that, like, when I knew when with Jason, I knew, you know, the setup. I knew going in. I knew with my eyes wide open, you know. I was at that point in my evolution to where I'd done enough work. I knew, you know, what this was about. Did I have surprises? Yeah. I'm not going to say that. Was I knocked down? Yeah. there was some trivial stuff and some challenges and all that that goes along with relation stuff. But the cool part about it is I am stronger and I'm a much more powerful person because of it. And, you know, and Jason is a very good man too. He does have a beautiful heart. However, you know, he did get enveloped with the machine sometimes. However, knowing this, you know, we have the ability to call in our own workshop and to do this work. When the higher ups know that you really want to do this and you're taking this seriously, they will put the right icons, if you will, around you to support you to do the work. And then what I did, you know, I'm not, you know, in one of my blogs, I'm writing one of my blogs called, you know, Energetic Boundaries. You know, so many people say set boundaries, set boundaries, set boundaries. I'm not one that I agree with that. You know, I think there's a time and a place to set boundaries, but I think sometimes we need to go into the field, get burned a little bit so we understand what it is, we get our power back from it, and then we come back out. Now, I'm not saying go into the field and, you know, become a victim and, you know, get yourself burned all the way up. I'm saying just test drive a little bit. Go in and go, oh, that's fascinating, and then go back out. But if we're always setting boundaries, we're not going to be able to understand where our unconscious energy is. And that's part of, I feel, part of the hijack out there.
I know. And you know what? Like, I was feeling, you know, too, like, you know, I was looking at your website and I see like how, you know, certain things that you do, and I've been struggling with a certain aspect of mine as well, like, because I do free readings on people. I'm just donations based. Uh-huh. And I feel like that it's almost like they don't value it as much if you don't, you know what I mean? But I've always was taught not to charge for it. That's the way I grew up, but nobody ever, when I was taught as a kid to do it, nobody ever told me. I thought I would be doing it on a mass scale either. And where it takes a lot of time and stuff, you know, it was just supposed to be for friends and stuff like that. It was supposed to be for in secret with family members and friends. So, you know, it's something that I've been struggling with because I get, not that I got a lot, but I have like 50 or 60 people that have emailed me in the last couple of weeks for readings. And, you know, to do them all for free, it's crazy now, you know, because it's most of my readings last over an hour too.
Right. And see, what I've learned, I learned some hard lessons with that one too. And so for me, what happens, because at first I did that too. I gave myself away a lot that way. And what happened is I started getting depleted, 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 depleted. I'm like, wait a minute, something's going on. And then there's not an energy exchange. Then what happens when there's no energy exchange, the parasites come in. So that's why I can't do free readings. It's not that. I have put $10,000 into my schooling, into energy. I've done, you know, I have an energetic college degree, if you will. You know, people are willing to pay dentists and doctors and, you know, $6 for, you know, their coffee every day. You know, we need to understand there's a lot of value to this energy work. There's value to it, and we need to shift out of that paradigm that we do need to get paid because we need to survive too. You know, I mean, I need to cook and eat too, like everybody else in the world. But you know, my path has put me on the energy path, and I'm glad because you know a lot of people will tell me I need to go sit in a psychologist's office and why they're doing their therapy to show people to ground out the energy so that the psychiatrist can understand exactly what's going on with the person. You know, to help the psychologist, even though the psychologist had 8 years of, you know, schooling. But we both know that the schooling system, the colleges have all been hijacked. So, you know, whatever that looks like that people are going to pay. So, again, consider the source. I know when I went to therapy, which was years ago, I started giving my information to the therapist. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm paying. I'm not doing this anymore. And so I just hold my energy back. And then the people that come to me, they value me, they're willing to pay, and they're willing to do the work. And that's my boundary so that I don't allow parasites in the field. Because what happens, I've done it enough, I let it in, and all the parasites come swarming at me, and I have to clean house for 2 weeks. And it's not worth it to me.
Yeah, no, I hear you for sure. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, I wanted to bring up too, because what do we time goes by quick. Wow, we only have 5 minutes, mm-hmm. too. I wanted to bring up, too, like, we in the Strega lore, you know, and it's not even lore. It's something that, you know, that's going on, and it still happens to this day. It's basically these cosmic wars that are going on, and these astral wars between right. the light and the dark forces. And we call them the Malindante and the Benindante, which is like the good and the bad witches, or good and bad shaman, or whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And we believe that on certain nights of the year, we fall into trances. And, you know, on these nights, we leave our body and go into astral realms. And we have these ritual combat, like astral battles. And it's battling for, you know, back in the olden days, like the 1300s, where it originated, the it's way deeper now. It goes back to even Aboriginal times. But they used to battle for the outcome of the harvest and the outcome of the vineyards and the outcome of, you know, the babies being born to that year. Would they go to the dark or the light side and stuff like that? But I feel, and these days that we went into the trances were called the Ember Days. But I feel that, like, we're going through these Ember Days on a massive scale right now. And we're all battling for the spiritual evolution of our species, of us. Right. And we're like star soldiers on the front line in the Absolutely. Astral realms, you know, trying to like, you know, hold the you know, and increase the spiritual evolution of us, you know, because we're losing it. And, you know, I feel that if this artificial, maybe programmable matter type goo interweaves with us and makes us more AI, and, you know, and it takes us over, then we're going to fall like Mufel and Lemuria and Atlantis, and the technology will be our downfall. But if we're able to tap into this spiritual capabilities of our divine spark that's inside all of us, you know, if we're able to tap into that, I really feel that we'll be able to survive as a species. And also, you know, people got to understand that the sleep time is what's how we tap into, you know, our true spiritual selves, our higher selves, and our oversoul it's in the sleep time, the dream time, you know?
Right. And I love the way you said that, you know, and I would just like to own that more and say that we are going to do it. We're not going to do the AI thing again. We've had enough of that. We're done with it. And that we have the power. I mean, just me and you and everyone in this group, we have the power within ourselves to wake people up. The deeper we go, the more we will illuminate those around us. You know, my son says from the other side, he says, you know, it's like you guys are going to turn the light switch on, and then boom, 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 boom. And I really do. I see that. I see that now. I see it happening. And so I know it's going to happen. To me, there's no question about it. However, we still have to make sure and do the work to make it happen. And the discipline is very, very, very important in doing the work. And it's loving yourself like you want to be loved. And that's the key. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to treat myself like a temple. I'm going to treat myself very organic. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to nurture myself and treat myself. And then I'm going to treat everybody else how I want to be treated. And it's that easy, but we forget because of the mind control and because we've been so traumatized and we have our own wounds. But I know that we have the power to do it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I can feel your heart, Ra, and I know you have the power to turn on the mechanisms in your area. I mean, I can feel it. I can feel your heart and know that without even questioning it. Because I remember you. You know what I mean? And it's that remembrance is what it's going to do. But in the interim, we're going to learn a lot from this AI. What we're going to learn what not to do, right?
I you know, and I feel that you know, even with you and, like I said, Laura Leon and a couple of us, I feel that past connection, and I feel that we're supposed to link up now, and we're on the right path. And we got 30 seconds to closing. And Naomi, I really would love to do this some other time too as well. It's an honor to have you here. And everybody, you can find the wonderful and beautiful, the amazing Naomi Swan at embodyenergeticecstasy.com. I want to welcome everybody for another great show of the Mystical Spiral. been great.
Thank
I love
you,
you
all.
It's been great having you, Naomi. Thanks again.
And thank you, sweetheart.
Guys, stay tuned for the other great shows. This is ParaX Radio Network, the only place you can find the best paranormal talk this side of the Kuiper Belt. This is Spiral Radio, and Spiral out.
Fear that you can taste.